our host. Hello to everyone who is joining us online. It's wonderful to have you with us today. Hello to everyone in the room. It's great to be with you. And I have the privilege of sharing the word with you today. Now, today I want to talk about holiness. I want to talk about a way that God tells us and teaches us how to live our lives so that we are holy. And the way that Jesus asks us to live our lives is to be people of mercy, to show mercy to others. In Luke chapter 6, verse 36, it says this, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It's God's mercy to us that shows us how we are to be merciful to others. Now, this particular verse, Jesus is saying to a crowd of people, and he's given a series of teachings. There's a whole crowd of people there, and he says this at the end of one of his teachings. And what he's actually doing is he is taking a familiar verse that the crowd would have known from the Old Testament. He's taking a verse that God spoke to Moses, which says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord God, am holy." And Jesus is taking this verse and he's actually giving it a new perspective. He's telling them that in order to be holy, you have to be a person of mercy. You have to show mercy to others. Holy in those days for the Israelite people were to keep particular rules, to keep particular rituals and sacrifices. And Jesus is adding to this. He is saying, no, to be holy is to be merciful. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Now that makes me think to myself and ask the question, so how is our Father merciful? How is God merciful to us? Because Jesus is teaching this new standard of mercy that he's asking us to live. So let's think about how is our God, our Father, merciful? From the very beginning, we see God's mercy. When he created us, we know of Adam and Eve in the garden who eat the forbidden fruit and they sin, and straight away there's that separation between mankind, humankind, and God. This perfect, amazing God and our imperfection, sin enters the world and there's this separation. And straight away we see God's mercy when he promises that he will send a redeemer so that we can live in union with God again. And then we go along in the story in the Old Testament and we see how the Israelites offered worship to a golden calf. Instead of worshiping God, they enter into idolatry. They worship the golden calf. And despite that, God renews his covenant with his people. He describes himself, he says to Moses that he's a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. That's who our God is. And then we see God's mercy in human form when Jesus Christ comes. When he comes to die on the cross for us, to take away our sins, to take that all on the cross so that we can live one day in eternity with God again. And we know that in one of my favourite verses, John 3:16, that says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life." Now that's when we see God's mercy in human form, Jesus on the earth for us. But then today, God shows us mercy over and over again when we go to the sacrament of reconciliation. The sacrament of reconciliation that restores our relationship with God and restores our relationship with the church, with the community of our church, when we go to that sacrament. A number of years ago, I had an experience at reconciliation when I went to my parish and I sat down in the pews lining up ready to go into the confessional, and there are a few people in front of me. And I sat down on this pew and next to me was a gentleman who was probably about 50 years older than me, and he turns to me and goes, "I bet my list is longer than your list." And we had a little chuckle. And then we were just silent. And it took a good few minutes as people were going to take their turns of reconciliation, like, you know, you just kind of shuffled up the pew every time someone, you know, went in. And so as we're going and we're just waiting for my turn, I was reflecting on my sins. I was reflecting on what I was going to confess to the priest as I entered into reconciliation. And because it took a good few minutes, I felt the weight of my sin. By the time I got into the confessional to share my sins with the priest, I was already in tears, thinking about just how sinful I'd been, or the wrong that I had done. And so that when the priest prayed the prayer of absolution, I felt that lift, that weight of sin gone as God's mercy came upon me. And you know, when we reflect on God's mercy in our lives, when we reflect on that, it can lead us to awe, because it leads us to that place of going, wow, God, that you have given your mercy to me. When we do that, that's when inside of us overflows out of our heart. That's when we've experienced that mercy, then we can give that same mercy to others. And we want to give that mercy to others because we have already experienced, we already know what it's like to experience God's mercy. I don't know if you, in your own life, not even thinking about God's mercy, but have experienced other mercy that maybe a friend has given to you, the kindness someone's given to you. You know, when you think, oh, wow, I didn't deserve that. You know what that feels like. But God, even to a greater level, gives us that mercy, and he gives it to us time and time again. And if we allow that to come into our hearts, then we're able to be like the Father and show his mercy to others. So let's go back to that verse, Luke 6:36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. God intends for his mercy to shape how we live our lives. He intends that his mercy would change the way that we interact with people in our lives, how we show them love. When Jesus says this verse, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, he's actually saying it at the end of a passage that's all about love your enemies. You may have heard that passage before. Let's read it together. So it's Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus says this, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Let's just finish it there. That's a high standard. That if anyone wants to take your coat, you offer your shirt as well. That if anyone takes your goods, then you don't ask for them back again. That if anyone hits you on the cheek, you would turn the other as well. That's a high standard that God asks us to live by. And when Jesus continues with this verse, he then, you know, says to us, challenges us to say, well, if you love someone who already loves you, like, how is that a credit to you? But if you love your enemy, that is loving as the Father loves. So let's look at verse 35, because Jesus continues and he says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So it's like that last verse there, verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, really summarizes all the rest. That when we love others, we'll just love as God loves. Be merciful as he is merciful. The word mercy, when you translate it, you can translate it a few different ways, but one of the ways to translate it is loving kindness. Now, another way I read was you can translate it to say love in action. I love that. Love in action. That there would be something that compels us to do something. That our love is actually stepping out towards someone else. That's a beautiful way of living. So just as God showed us loving kindness by putting his love into action in the form of Jesus Christ to forgive our sins for all the things that we have done wrong, we too should do the same for others. And this mercy really comes out of our relationship with God first. When we have that relationship with God, when we experience his mercy in our lives, then our hearts are transformed to offer that mercy to others. I want to look at a story, a parable that many of us would know that we've heard time and time again that something that as a little child, if you've been in the Christian walk for a while as a child, you would have heard this story. And it is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in this parable, in this story that Jesus tells, it starts by a lawyer asking Jesus a question and trying to test him. He says to Jesus, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, what does the law say?" And the lawyer says, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then the lawyer says to Jesus, "But who is my neighbor?" Trying to find out. So who am I allowed to love and who can I just not worry about? Essentially, that's what he's asking. And then Jesus comes with this parable. So let's read it together. Jesus says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now, I love this story. And like I said, when I was a child, this was something that you would act out at school. I remember once on a holiday program I went to, the leader of the holiday program gave my family the role of acting this particular parable out. Now, I'm the eldest of 5 siblings, as many of you know, and therefore there was a part for each one of us. You know, someone had to double up and be the donkey. But other than that, you know, someone's the priest, someone's the Levite, someone's the Good Samaritan, you know. And it was always a fun thing to do and to play. And so that's why I have good memories. But when you really read this story, there is so much depth to it that when you're a child, you can't understand the full depth and meaning of it. But Jesus uses this story because he knows the crowd who he's talking to. He knows that when the lawyer asked him, "Who is my neighbor?" He knows that at that time, your neighbor was actually viewed as another Israelite. Your neighbor was not someone who was from another country. Your neighbor was not the Gentiles. You only had to love the person who was the same as you. So this story to the people at this time was shocking to them. It was changing their perspective of what it was to show mercy, of what it was to show love. So let's look at the people in the story. Let's just start with the Levite and the priest. Both of them have passed by the beaten man on the other side of the road. Now, to us, we are shocked by that. We think, why wouldn't you go to the aid of someone who looks like they're in need? I think most of us would go and help someone if we saw them beaten on the side of the road. But actually, what's happening here is the Levite and the priest are actually doing what is asked of them to be holy. At the time, their laws of purity, their purity laws that they had, meant that you could not go to the corpse of someone who was not your family member. You could not attend someone who had died who was not a member of your family. And so even though we know now in this story that this man was not dead, he was just very beaten, there was at the time thought that even if your shadow came upon someone who was dead, then you were then considered unclean. You couldn't go to the temple, you couldn't perform the normal rituals you had to perform. You actually had to go off and perform some cleansing rituals that took 7 days in order to now not be considered unclean, in order to be considered clean again. You might remember the story of the 10 lepers. You know, if anyone had leprosy, you would read in the Bible that they're shunned out of the town. They have to go live separately. The hemorrhaging woman, she was considered unclean. You couldn't come near her. So they had these laws about their purity laws that you couldn't go near someone who was unclean. So the Levite and the priest, by passing on the other side of the road, are actually doing their best to be holy in the old law because they don't want to make themselves unclean. So when Jesus comes and he turns the whole thing around and he says that this Samaritan, who is actually despised by the Jews, they feuded with the Samaritans, when this Samaritan actually approaches the person who has been injured, who has been beaten, God is saying, no, 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 holiness is not keeping all of those laws. Holiness is being merciful. Holiness is reaching out. Holiness is coming to the aid of someone in need. That's what real holiness is. So be merciful like the Father is merciful. Be holy as God is holy. That's what Jesus is teaching with this parable. He's teaching a whole new way of what it is to be holy. It's a holiness that reaches out to others, that no longer segregates people, that no longer says you're in this group and I can't associate with you. This is a whole new way of thinking of how we live our lives in holiness. So what is the new standard of holiness? The new standard is to show mercy. And how should we be merciful? We should be merciful as the Father is merciful. When we really experience the mercy of God in our lives, when we know what that really feels like, that's when we have that heart transformation to love others as God has loved us. And we want to do that. We want to give that away. Our love for others is connected to our love for God. Maybe in your life right now, you're thinking of people that you need to forgive. Maybe people who have wronged you, who took your coat and maybe took your shirt as well. People that you need to show mercy to. People who have wronged you, people who have stolen from you. God asks us to be merciful to them. I'm not saying it's not challenging. It is. But to be holy, this is what God calls us to. Now, just because we offer mercy doesn't mean we have to stay in the situation that we're in. You know, maybe if there's a situation that's unsafe, then you can offer forgiveness, but it doesn't mean you need to stay there. So giving mercy doesn't mean you have to stay in the situation, in your circumstance. But God still calls us to show mercy, to offer forgiveness, to offer love. You know, sometimes I've often thought of mercy as giving in. Have you ever, if you're a child, you do like an arm wrestle with your brother or sister or a friend, and the word that you would say if you're like it's all over is mercy, you know? Like, I'd attempt to do one now, but I know I would lose. You'd shout out mercy because you're like, I'm giving in. But you know, mercy is not giving in. Mercy is choosing to show love. When you think about it that way, it gives you a new perspective of what it is to show mercy. It's to show love. It's not giving in, it's showing love. If you don't think you are showing mercy in your life to other people, then I encourage you to ask God to transform your heart. Now, I had a friend a number of years ago who didn't think that they were a very merciful person. They knew that they were probably quite harsh, and so they prayed for mercy. They just prayed that every day, God, would you give me your heart of mercy for others? And now, the witness of her life, I know that she is a person of mercy. With the people who she brings into her home, with the way that she has compassion and love for other people, I know that God has transformed her heart. So I know that the same can happen for you when you're like, I'm not merciful enough, God. Would you transform my heart? You can ask him for that. Now I encourage you, just over the next week, the next few days, to reflect on how is your life transformed by God's mercy? How have you experienced God's mercy in your life? And then the second question to reflect on is, how are you being Christ to others? How are you showing that mercy to other people in your life? Because the door to holiness is to be a person of mercy. All right, why don't we pray and let's ask God to come and transform our hearts to be more merciful like him. Lord, I worship you and I praise you right now. Lord, we want to be merciful as you are merciful, as you have shown your love to us, as you have forgiven us, as you have taken our sins on the cross by sending your son Jesus, as you have shown us the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate way of loving and showing mercy, Lord God, to lay down your life. I pray that you would draw us and lead us into awe of you, Lord, that we would come to a greater, deeper understanding of what it is to understand your mercy, to experience that, Lord. And I pray that as we do, that you would transform our hearts to be more merciful to other people in our lives, to be merciful to those who have wronged us, who have stolen from us, maybe lied to us, Lord God. Would you help us to be merciful as you are merciful? As you have been merciful to us, may we be merciful to others, Lord. I thank you for that heart transformation that you give to each and every one of us, and for that love that you continue to pour on us every single day. I thank you, Lord God. Amen.